Hello, and here I am with Katie on the Latte Lounge podcast. How are you?
I'm good, Josephine. How are you?
Very hot.
Yeah, it is really, really
it's
hot.
It's clammy,
and
isn't it?
Yeah.
So tell me, who's on today?
Well, we've actually got two guests on today because I know a lot of our members are going away in the summer, and I have two fantastic guests. One of them is nutritionist Marcel Rose, who's actually one of our website bloggers and advisors. And the other one has come all the way down from Edinburgh, Jennifer Kennedy, who has written an amazing blog and book called Galloping Catastrophes. We're going to interview them both soon.
And that's about the menopause, isn't it?
It is, and the musings of a menopausal woman, which a lot of our members can relate to.
Exactly. Yeah. So what have you been up to, Katie?
Well, June's been, as always, a very busy month. I actually went to a Women's Rights in Healthcare conference a couple of weeks ago. It was hosted by Lee Day Law. I actually went with Diane Danziebrink, who you know, it was actually pretty shocking. We heard some pretty shocking statistics about FGM in this country, which I found very, very overwhelming. In fact, I'd never heard it
was still going on here. Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty horrendous. And I think we might keep that for another podcast because one of the women who spoke was really fascinating. We also heard from a lady about the inequalities in Black women's rights. Again, rather than sort of tell you too much about that, I think we need to get her on. And the reason I went was Dr. Louise Newson, who you know is one of our advisors too and our bloggers. She was actually talking about the poor state of menopause care in this country. So that was really interesting. In terms of blogs, we've shared some brilliant blogs, one of them by one of our bloggers who Marcel knows, Natasha Harris, who writes for us about mindfulness. And that had a lot of engagement. She was talking about, does working harder really bring you more success?
And happiness more than anything.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was a really interesting blog for me because you can put in 20-hour days and actually, you know, are you successful? Well, yeah.
Does it make you feel good, I mean, at the end of the day, or are you just exhausted?
Exactly. I think so. Yeah. So that was really good. And we've...
Work-life balance, darling.
Yes. And there I am. I'm a bit of a hypocrite because I'm telling people that all the time and I'm the worst for it. So, yes, we've had amazing blogs. The Facebook group I told you was turning three, so we turned three last week. There's been masses going on, but I think we should get on with our guests.
Exactly. So, who's the first guest then?
So I wanted to introduce everyone to Marcel Rose.
Welcome. Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's lovely to have you here. Now, Marcel, tell us a little bit, first of all, about what you do, and then I've got a few questions I'd like to ask.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a nutritional therapist and health coach, but I specialise a lot in gut health and problems with digestion and IBS and all sorts of different horrible gut symptoms that people really struggle with, actually, and are just kind of told to just that there's nothing you can do about it. So and then the other side of it is emotional eating, helping with people with that, and over to kind of more disordered eating.
Yeah.
Is my kind of those are my two main areas, really.
And tell us why are things different for us when we hit our 40s and beyond? Because I've noticed, I mean, I've actually been to see Marcel, she's amazing, hence why she's here. But why do things change when we hit our 40s?
So lots of things obviously start to happen when we start to lose our energy, we feel like our vitality's gone, our skin may have lost its glow, our digestion seems to be more troublesome. You know, for some, they really could start to notice that when you go into your 40s. And weight is often a big issue for people. And there's a number of different reasons. The weight in particular is a problem because we've got a number of different hormones involved. So we've got things like insulin, which we use obviously to get our sugar into our cells for energy, but actually it's also a fat storage hormone. And as we age, our cell sensitivity to insulin begins to reduce. So it's having to work harder, the pancreas, to pump out this insulin, and we're more likely to store the sugar as fat.
Middle age spread.
Yes, it's known as that kind of fat around the middle.
It's amazing because I honestly just thought that it just happened, if you know what I mean. It's just, yes. And I didn't know there was a medical reason why. And it makes me feel so much more heartened, doesn't it, you?
Yeah, to think absolutely. Because you think you were failing and, is it what I'm eating or I'm just lazy or...
Yeah, so many different reasons, exactly. And obviously female hormones have a role to play with estrogen dropping as we kind of hurdle our way towards the menopause.
Yeah.
And, you know, the abdominable.
It is abdominal. It is.
The fat cells around our stomach, I'll rephrase that. They actually become metabolically active and start to produce estrogen. So they're holding on to the fat around that area that we all, you know, really notice. There's that. There's also things like our thyroid hormones, and our thyroid is affected. It's like our internal motor, and it starts to kind of slow down a bit, and all different interactions between different systems like our adrenals as well can have an impact on how our thyroid's working. So we can have notice weight gain from that. And I mentioned the adrenals, they produce a stress hormone, cortisol. And I find, I don't know about you guys, but when we get towards this sort of age, we're juggling so many things. We're spinning plates and there's a lot of stress, you know, children, aging adults, parents sometimes that we're looking after. We're juggling work. Work-life balance is very difficult. So actually our cortisol levels can really go out of sync. And again, that's where we kind of, you might have heard of the cortisol tire, where we sort of start, again, another reason for storing it around the center, around the middle, really.
So. Actually, that's quite interesting because you know, I run around like everyone else does, like a nutter, as Marcel knows. And actually, I don't, in the old, you know, I used to be quite conscious, I eat too much or I eat too little. But actually, I eat less now because I'm so busy and yet the tire is there. And that, so that is what you're saying is the stress,
probably the stress. Yeah. And also actually sometimes eating, you know, when you're eating less, your metabolism is actually slowing down to try and account for that. So, you know, when people go on real calorie restrictive diets, they find that the metabolism slowed down. So in order to kind of maintain that weight level, you have to then eat even less. And that's why so many diets fail in the long run, because people can't kind of maintain that way of eating because they're starving, essentially, you know, they're really hungry.
So I'm dying to know what we can do in our lives to combat, you know, to balance us out then. What's the first step?
Yes, so blood sugar control is really important. So that's essentially, I mean, I could talk to you about blood sugar control for hours, but I won't. You know, simply put, we want to try and have a bit of protein with every meal. And snack. We want to really boost our veggie, non-starchy veg, particularly intake, and the diversity.
What's non-starchy? Kind of green leaves.
Yes, the green. So the starchy are more things like your potato, sweet potato, and corn and squash, which are all the particularly not so much the potato, but the others are all great. But you want to kind of limit those, but really go for the others. So yes, as you said, green leafy veg and all the different colours of different vegetables. We know from research now that it's the diversity of what we're eating is so important to our gut bacteria. And actually the gut bacteria have an influence also on going back to our weight as well as the rest of our health. So it's kind of all relatable to each other, really, all the systems. So
and does the way we digest food change as well when you're sort of getting older?
Yeah, so absolutely. So what happens is we start to produce less stomach acid, and it naturally happens as we age. And then people start, a lot of people, I don't know if you've come across people, complain of things like reflux. And they actually think it's because they've got too much stomach acid. Often it's because they haven't got enough. And then, you know, you go down that cycle of sometimes having to go on medication, and sometimes it just has the, you know, the wrong effect. And with then not producing as much intrinsic factor, which is what we need to absorb our vitamin B12. And it's a bit of a cycle. So, but I wouldn't say for anyone, just don't just come off your kind of PPIs and things like that. You always have to talk to your GP about that because you can end up with
Do you think that the way we eat can cure us of things and make us balanced?
I think it can definitely have a big impact. I think the way we eat, tied in with how we're sleeping and our lifestyle in general, how we're moving, are the three key things that can have a massive impact. And it's great because actually once I think you start to go down that route, that way, you realise that you've actually got some control to make a difference in your health. It doesn't have to be all about medication.
What about things like bone health? I mean, is there anything we can do? Because obviously, again, with osteoporosis can set in during perimenopause and menopause. What would you recommend for good bone health?
So obviously, you probably know about weight-bearing exercise, really important. But alongside that, good nutrition is absolutely key. And it's not just calcium. And calcium, incidentally, for those who are dairy-free, a lot of people now are, you can get lots of calcium from your leafy green veg, from soy beans, from tofu, from nuts and seeds. But also, you can get, you need to have things like vitamin D as well, vitamin D-rich foods. And from the sun, you obviously can get that.
What are vitamin D rich foods?
So those are things like oily fish are quite rich in that, particularly. I'd say that those are one of the best sources. But you can't get that much from your food. So sometimes,
would you recommend a supplement? Because I take one.
Yeah, for that. It's now a recommendable thing that, via Public Health England now recommend that we should supplement in this country because we just don't get enough sun. And also we're covered a lot, we're inside a lot, we're not, we're using sunscreen.
Yes.
And that blocks the absorption. So it's probably advisable, but there's other things like magnesium as well, vitamin C, all these things are also really important for bone health.
Yeah, and also, when estrogen levels decline, it affects our skin. I've noticed that quite a bit. Again, what can you do for sort of helping your skin to glow?
Absolutely, because one of the biggest problems is our foods that are packed with sugar and refined carbohydrates, because they're very inflammatory. And it's a bit of an inflammatory process going on as we age. So we want to try and reduce those kind of foods, keep alcohol to a minimum. I won't say give it up, because I know not many people like to do that. And caffeine as well can have an impact. So we really want to, again, go for healthy fats, kind of a natural skin plumper.
What, like avocado and flaxseed and all those things?
Oily fish as well. Mm. Again, those things like salmon and olive oil, good quality olive oil. But also, again, diversity of veggies, really important, because the colours, each of the colours in all the different veg and fruit, but particularly going for more veg, the different colours have different types of antioxidants. And actually it's the diversity of them that work kind of together synergistically to produce better effects.
What about just buying veg? Because I'm next door to a Sainsbury's here. I mean, is it okay, or should I be going and buying very expensive organic stuff? What do you think?
That's a good big question, Josephine. So what I would say is, you ideally, especially when we're going towards menopause as well, it's good to minimise our exposure to pesticides and things like that. So
wash
it,
which I don't do, because I'm always in a hurry.
Wash it. If you can go for organic for some things, then it's good to check out the Dirty Dozen list, which basically has the list of the top 12 worst offenders every year. Spinach comes up a lot, and strawberries and things like that. And then go for the ones that are particularly bad, go for those as organic, because it's expensive to obviously buy all organic.
I mean, we could talk for hours with you. Before I ask you, because I always like to ask our guests what their sort of top tips are, how can people sort of find out more about you and get your help? And also, I think you might have an offer for our members as well.
Sure, yes. So I'm offering to give away 3 complimentary mini consultations for the listeners if it's booked by the end of June, which would be great. So I think just email me directly is the best way, and I think you might be.
Yeah, well, I'll share the email when we share the podcast. I'll put your email next to it. So go on then, Marcel. Give us your top tips for women over 40 for good health in everything we eat and digest and everything. Yes.
Okay. Get it down to 5 quick top tips. So reduce your sugars and processed refined carbohydrates. Plenty of colours and diversity of veg and some fruit. So eating a rainbow. And bringing in those, I haven't mentioned it, but bring in the natural estrogenic foods as well. Mm. So those are things like your flax seeds are very good for that, actually, particularly flax seeds, but also things like soy, but not refined soy, ideally.
Yeah.
And also remember to support your thyroid with things like, we didn't get onto that either.
Oh, but totally.
Support your thyroid with things like the key sort of nutrients are iodine, which you can get a great source of that is seaweed. Oh. So get that into soups and stews or salads. Yeah. Then you've got zinc. That's in nuts and seeds, particularly pumpkin seeds, but also fish and meat and eggs. And also you want to look at the other one, selenium, and that you can get from Brazil nuts. So 3 of those a day, make it like a prescription, 3 Brazil nuts a day.
I love. Yeah.
And that's a good way to just give it a boost.
Oh, yeah.
And then, sorry, I'm going on longer than my 5
that's
quick
fine.
Questions.
That's fine, take your time.
And the last one I would say is work on your digestion. And the very simplest thing you can do for that is to slow down and look at your food, smell your food, and start the digestive process. I know it sounds really basic, and eat slowly and mindfully, because that sets off a whole cascade of digestive effects. And we need to start the process from that very beginning stage where we're actually smelling it, looking at it, eating it very slowly and mindfully.
I feel terrible as I ate my cereal bar on the way down to Chiswick in the car. Don't do that. All right, Marcel, thank you so much for coming in. We'll, as I said, we'll put the podcast on the Facebook group and all our social channels, and we'll put a link to your website and your email address if people want to book with you.
Thank you.
And now we're moving on to our second guest, who is Jennifer Kennedy. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Kate. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. Now, Jennifer and I have actually got a lot in common. We met last week at Andrea McLean's first birthday website launch, didn't we?
Yes, and that was great. Yes, the thing that sticks in my mind were the lovely cakes that were there, and also meeting Andrea, who's absolutely lovely. So that was good too.
Yeah, and Andrea was actually our May podcast, so we were very excited to have her here. Now, Jennifer started a blog, which I've been following since day one, and it has me in hysterics, called Galloping Catastrophes. Tell us a little bit about, you know, why you started it and why it's called that.
So about 18 months ago, I got the menopause diagnosis, and I put a post on my personal Facebook page. So I had spent a year thinking that I had a variety of things. So I thought I had Alzheimer's because of the brain fog. And I went to the doctors with that, convinced I had early onset Alzheimer's. And then I was back thinking that I might have some kind of cancer, because as you've just said, Marcel, the sort of menopause, I call it, that big stomach. I thought, I've never had this before. Where does this come from? Then all the achy joints. I was back thinking, well, I must have arthritis. And I think the doctor actually blacklisted me, thinking, oh my goodness, she's just back here all the time. So I was one of the few people that actually fist pumped the air when they said it's menopause, because I thought, oh, thank goodness, that's a relief. So I put a post on my personal Facebook, and also asking for what do people think about HRT, because I wasn't sure whether to do that or not. And it was picked up and it was liked and it was shared outside my personal page. Lots of people commented on it. And then a friend said, why don't you blog on it? Now, I knew nothing about blogging, so my 12-year-old niece set it all up for me and gave me the technical help. And I just started making it just a kind of my experiences, what I was going through. And I wanted it to be relatable. I wanted people to say, oh, it's not just me, that somebody else is going through this. Mm. So that's why I set it up. And it was a laugh to begin with. Mm. And then it just started to get bigger and bigger. So enjoying doing it, and I've loved doing it. That's 18 months I've been doing it for now.
And it's such a familiar story. I mean, I think we've probably touched on it every single podcast, but it's exactly my story, going back and forward 5 times to GPs, you know, thinking everything's wrong with you. So again, I felt the same as you. It's like one of those light bulb moments when you think, okay, that now all makes sense, hence the Facebook group. But the name, I love the name. Why the name, Galloping Catastrophes?
So the name, so the blog was originally called Is It Just Me? Because it felt like it was just me to begin with, although I absolutely know now it's not just me. Yeah. But I'm addicted to Google, and I remember the days, as probably all of us do, that if you didn't know something, you just didn't know it. And I think it's fascinating now that on a phone you can find out anything. There's no reason not to know anything. And I call myself curious. My partner calls me incredibly nosy, but I like to find things out. So I was playing about on my phone, and I thought, I wonder how people used to be treated for the menopause. So I started looking at treatments in the 50s, the 40s, the 60s. And some of them are incredible. So leeches being attached to your genitalia, basically, because doctors felt it was because you were no longer bleeding. So if they made you bleed, you'd feel better. So as I was looking at this, and a clitoridectomy, which is exactly what it sounds like, apparently was recommended. So I was reading this, and I finally...
So the clitoris cut off.
Basically. Yeah. So that, and that was... A doctor said, that's how we treat this. This will work. So it just shows you. I mean, like, okay, and this isn't that long ago. This is my mum's generation, basically, in the 50s, the 60s.
No wonder they never talked about it, you know, seriously. Yeah.
Well, exactly. And that's what's great just now. So sort of getting around to your question, like, why did I call it that? I came across this doctor, Dr. Robert Wilson, who in 1966 declared all menopausal women galloping catastrophes. And he meant it quite exactly. So he meant it very derogatory, you know, but I actually thought, that sums me up. So I tweeted that I'd found this. I love social media. So I tweeted that I'd found this, and everybody was responding, that's me, that's me. And actually, it was the first contact with Andrea McLean, because she wrote underneath it, I am definitely a galloping catastrophe. And I thought, I'm reclaiming that, because it really does sum up how I feel. Sometimes you're going at 100 miles an hour and it's one disaster after the other. You're trying to deal with this, you're trying to deal with that. 100 miles an hour doing things. And that's where it came from, basically.
That's brilliant. I stole it. Brilliant. And obviously, the blog has been a huge success. How many followers have you got now?
So it's almost at 34,000 now, which is great. I remember getting excited because it got to 100. And then, so it kind of... by about 2,000 a month on average is how many people join up to it. And it is just through people sharing it and, you know, telling their friends about it, which is great, because now underneath each post, it used to be quite empty, but now there's loads of comments and people are saying, this happened to me, has this happened to you? And what do you think about this? So it's quite nice to see that conversation. It's evolved. Totally evolved. It's so, like being in a menopause gang.
So you, is it going to be turned into a book or a TV programme?
Well, so, yeah, the book here, Galloping
Catastrophe. I'm picking up your new book now. Well done, Josephine. Yes, why did you decide to put it into a book?
Well... again, when I got diagnosed, I started looking online. Well, I say diagnosed, but you know, we all go through it, but it feels like a diagnosis. So I went to Waterstones, first of all, to look for some boots, because again, I am always wanting to look at things and find things out. And there was nothing there. And I mean nothing there. Mm-hmm. So I went online, and there were books of, you know, there was one, the first one was a woman being given a piggyback across a field by her partner. And I thought, never going to happen to me. never going to happen unless he wants a broken back. And then carrying on to another one, which was a lady striding through a field of poppies, flicking her blonde hair. And I thought, I cannot relate to any of this. Or it was misery memoirs, like, oh my goodness, how depressing is my life, and my life is over. And I didn't feel like that either. I actually feel, you know, this is quite a freeing time of your life in a lot of ways. There are challenges, but there are good things as well, and a lot of funny things. So I started gathering stories from the blog, so funny stories, like a friend of mine said, she was at work, and she was trying to heat up her coffee in the microwave, and she wouldn't understand why it wasn't working, and her colleague said, you're putting your PIN number into it. And she's like, and another friend said, another friend called mortified, saying, you're never going to guess what's happened. So she sweats profusely. I get a little bit of sweats, but nothing like her. She will literally be drenched, but she does public speaking. So somebody said, put 10 ladies under the armpits of your shirts, and then the sweat won't come through. So she did that, and actually it was working, but she had done a speech where one fell out, so it literally fell on the stage. And she said, I was kicking it under the lectern going, oh God. So I think all these things, well, they're not great when they happen, they're funny. And other people can go, oh yeah, I've done something similar. So I wanted it to be lighthearted. I wanted it to be funny. And I've always wanted to write a book, as everybody does. And I thought, well, I'm 50 now. If not now, when? So why not just give it a go? So that's where it came from, basically.
And you're actually my kindred spirit, because your book's called Musings of a Menopausal Woman. And for the same reason as you, mine was Not So Secret Diary of a Midlife Menopausal Mum. So we're going to swap books afterwards. But you literally, you know, you have me in hysterics pretty much every evening. Now, I mean, on that note, I think it's time you did some stand-up comedy. Any plans for that?
So I have. I had my first go at stand-up comedy, something, again, that I always wanted to try. And I got invited to a retreat in Wales to do a talk. And I thought, very nervous, I almost said no. And I thought, you know what? I don't know anybody in Wales. And I worked out the train, so I thought, if it's a disaster, I can run and get to the next train to Scotland and nobody will ever know, so it's fine. So I turned up and they also said, oh, we maybe have 10, 15 people there. It's within a big talking tent. It's in a big retreat. And I thought, oh, that's fine. So I turned up and I went along and there was about, I don't know, 80, 90 women there. There was standing room only. There were people everywhere, all about. And I thought, oh my God, oh my God. And I remember them making me up, literally thinking, I am going to throw up. Now, my body will not voluntarily part with a calorie under any circumstances. So this was bad. And I thought, I cannot do it. I cannot do it. This is awful. But once I was finished, I got a huge buzz from it and I loved it. So I've done it again since then. And I want to do a bit more of that because it is really buzzy and it's really exciting and it's terrifying. Yeah. But do you know what? I think another great thing of getting to this age is you stop really caring what people think and you stop worrying about failing. When I was younger, I constantly thought, I'm not going to do it because I might not do it right and I might fail at it. And what will people think if it doesn't work out right? I kind of don't care now. I think, well, if it doesn't work, what's the worst that can happen? I'm not going to die, am I? So just give something a go. So it's been quite revolutionary to get up and try something.
And also, because you're from Edinburgh, surely you're going to have a go at the Edinburgh Festival. I mean, you're made for it.
Yeah, so I had two things with Edinburgh Festival, which I love. So I'm going to be blogging about the Edinburgh Festival. So I'm taking a whole month off my normal job to blog about what's going on and what events are going on. And I'm also doing a two-day course on stand-up comedy, which culminates in a session that evening, which is free for people to come along to. And it's basically everybody does a 10-minute comedy slot. So I'm going to go and give that a go as well. So
can you let us know the details of that? We can put it on the website.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll give you the dates and the times for it.
So we'll as we said with Marcel, we'll put all the details to your blog and to your book, and also to hopefully to the Edinburgh Festival blog as well for everyone to follow. But really, good luck. I'm so pleased I bumped into you last week. And honestly, guys, you know, if you're feeling really rubbish about the menopause, then definitely have a read of your book. I mean, what would your, I must end with a top tip. What would your top tip be for women who are literally just feeling pretty menopausally rubbish right now?
I mean, I think that's a good question. And there are challenges and a lot of people do feel terrible. But for me, what I always remember, and I think like most women our age, we have friends, family that never got this far, never made it this far in life. And I think it is actually an incredible privilege to get to this age and still be standing, basically, having gone through so much stuff. So I put together, and I wouldn't say a rude word, it rhymes with bucket list, though, but it starts with an F. And I have a list of things that I'm working my way through. And they're not massive things. It's not scaling Everest, but for example, Carlton Hill in Edinburgh, I love it up there. And I always wanted to go up and watch sunrise up there, but never did it. Just keep putting off. And one morning I woke up at 5 and I thought, I'm just going to go. So it's on my list and I got myself a little bit of breakfast and I climbed up the hill and I just sat there in the complete silence, headphones on, listening to Jill Jackson, who's a great Scottish singer that I love, watching the world, Edinburgh come alive. And I think having a list of things that you want to do, they don't have to be major things that you keep putting off, because I just think it is later than you think, in those words of that greater song, if you don't do it now, you're never going to do it. So I think go and give yourself the permission not to sing to anybody else's tune, not to do what your kids want, not to do what your partner wants, not to do what your boss wants, not to do what your friends think is right, what you truly want to do, and just go for it and do it. This is your time.
Absolutely. Do it for
That's
us.
You made us feel fabulous.
Yeah. I'm going to go and scale Mount Everest now.
Exactly. You know, there's a queue now going up there. Yeah, it's really crowded. Yeah, it's really getting... Yeah, and it's very dangerous because apparently coming down with so many people, there's more accidents than ever.
Oh, so maybe I won't.
By the way, you're not doing it. Okay, we're stopping you.
Apparently it's because they're all taking selfies. That's why it's taking so long. Seriously.
And they're all falling off backwards.
Oh, you're sitting in a queue going, come on.
Oh, well, Jennifer, thank you so much for coming in and cheering us up.
Thank you very much for having me on here as well. It's been fantastic.
It's been great fun. And Marcel, thank you too as well. Yeah. It's been brilliant. Yeah.
So tell me, Katie, what's happening in July then?
Well,
because I know you were up all night doing stuff.
I'm up all night because we're on our 9-day countdown now to the live Latte Lounge, which is at the Grove Hotel with Liz Earle. So it's a week on Wednesday. So
that's a massive event you're putting on.
Well, it's just going to be a really wonderful day because, you know, I've said it before, but we've got Liz talking for about 45 minutes with me about her, you know, her journey and what she's doing now. We've got Dr. Louise Newson, Diane Danzibrink, Sam Evans, who we had on our podcast, and Jane Lewis. And we're doing it all for the Eve Appeal, who are our charity partner. So the Grove have very kindly given us the whole day there, and then everyone's going to go off for a lovely spa. So I'm just really excited, and it's, you know, Phil.
So all your dreams are coming together now.
Well, I just think we're growing, and you know, a bit like Jennifer said, you never expected this to happen, but now it is. It's like I can't stop it, but it's brilliant. So we're really busy.
Okay, so you've got that plan. What are your next plans?
What else have we got? We've just actually launched a new trial partnership with a company called Peppy Health, and they will really help me, I hope, with my workload. And what they do is give you telephone consultations with a menopause nurse. It's a 45-minute consultation, and they've actually given 5 free consultations to some of our members, A, to help them, but B, also to give me feedback to see if this is going to be helpful. Because what happens is we do a lot of work off the Facebook group where we try and signpost and support women to all sorts of places, be it NICE guidelines or, you know, to blogs and websites or doctors. And actually, you know, sometimes these women actually, what they need is a one-to-one, you know, phone call with someone.
This is on the phone, so you don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I mean, they won't actually be prescribing at the moment, you know, if they need something like HRT, but what they do is they'll just give women information and feel empowered to go off to their doctors. So that's really exciting. And also we've got, I actually can't believe I've organised it for this week, but we're planning our next mental health event in November. And that meeting's this week, and that's going to be focusing around women's mental health and how we can improve it, and that should be a really lovely evening. So I won't put any spoilers on, but that's coming out. And actually on July the 4th there's an interview in Simply You magazine. They spoke to me about, again, the background to the Latte Lounge and where women can go for support. So, you know, another really busy month, and I'm really looking forward to going away, switching off, and lying on a beach. What about you?
Yes, yeah. Well, I'm really lucky. I'm lying on a beach this weekend.
Oh, where are you going?
Going to Palma, Mallorca. Oh, someone said it's really nice. I'm going with 4 girlfriends on Thursday and coming back on Sunday.
Oh.
My friend contacted me last night and said, I booked the sunbeds.
Oh, can I come in?
I know. We so need it, don't we? Yeah, it's so dreary. What a dreary summer we're having.
Well, I think there's going to be a heat wave this weekend, guys. So get out there and enjoy the sun and get your vitamin D.
Exactly. Yes. Well, thank you so much for everyone coming on to the Latte Lounge podcast. Marcel Rose, Jennifer Kennedy, Katie Taylor. And it's been a great, great chat. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is RadioGorgeous.com.